To see you is the end and the beginning. You carry me and you go before. You are the journey and the journey's end. Good morning. It is wonderful to be here in Maryland and New York, so the humidity is up. It's great, I love it. My name is Bruce Torrey, and I'm here to speak on behalf and beg on behalf of the Forest of God's Children in the Caribbean and Latin America. But I'd like to begin with a little thank you time. First, thank you all for allowing me to be here this morning. Thank you, Bill, for allowing me to be here. And thanks to the Ellises for a wonderful welcome last night, along with some of the parishioners here. And thank you to those of you who have contributed to Food for the Poor in the past and are part of that ministry. Thank you to the Episcopal Church, and therefore to myself. As Episcopalians have traditionally been very generous supporters of Food for the Poor. And once again, my dad just stated too. Thank you for that.
Person that I met who was
A particularly special moment was named Palomina, a young woman who we met out in a little village outside of Kingston. We got in our little minivan. It was a trip for speakers and food and pork. And we drove out to the countryside. It was gorgeous. It's Caribbean, right? It's green, it's lush. You know, you're driving down these little dirt roads, diving up and down. And it opens out into this poor little village, a collection of shacks, really, is what it is. And we pulled up in front of one of these broken down little houses, and we were ushered in to a room in the back. It was about maybe 13 foot square or so. I don't even think there were any windows in it, as I recall. On the floor were just three old mattresses, and we met Palomina. And Palomina was living in this room. It was actually not her house, it was her parents' house, because her house had burned down. And she was living in this room with her six children, including her two infant twins, her uncle, and her nephew. So now I just ask you to imagine, in a Caribbean country, what that smelled like, right? And what that looked like. And the only other thing I remember was a little sign on the wall, a little plaque that said something like, "With God, all things are possible," which struck me rather incongruent at the moment. So anyway, we met Palomina, and she talked about her situation, that she didn't have enough food. She had to cut the formula for her infant twins in half because she didn't have enough money to pay for all that. Obviously no place to live. She was pretty desperate. But she answered all her questions. She was very forthcoming. The thing, however, that was most striking about Palomina was her complete lack of affect. She had, her face was like a blank, right? She answered all her questions. It was kind of like an automaton, you know? And there was almost like no one home behind the eyes. So we thanked her for allowing us to be there. We left some food, as food for the poor always does, but someone is gracious enough to allow them into their homes. And we went on our way. And I spent the rest of the time visiting other ministries that food for the poor is involved in. I'll mention one other really kind of special moment. We went to this place called Jerusalem Home, which was a large farm for children with severe physical disabilities and with AIDS. And we went to a particular part of that farm called Martha's House and met a young girl named Deanna along with some other children. And Deanna had completely crippled up legs. She had no use of her legs at all. She actually walked around on her hands, right? And we spent a little time there. And again, kids are kids, you know? We sang some music. She was having a blast. She was dancing around on her hands, you know, along with the other kids who had various serious disabilities. But all I could think of as I was watching her was, what would have happened to this little girl if this place had not been there for her? Right? If she had been left out on the streets, as many children are in these countries, very likely to not even survive, or to survive in a way that we wouldn't even want to think about. And here she was in this environment where she had a roof over her head, she had two square meals a day, she was getting an education, which is an incredible commodity in these countries because it's not like there's public education. You pay or you don't get educated, right? So she had all these tremendous advantages, and here she was, you know, even with her disability, this lively, vibrant little girl. So it was a great moment of thanksgiving for a place like Martha's House to allow her to live there. And this was the kind of thing I did, spent my time in places like this. So we travel around. At the end of the week, we find ourselves winding through the countryside again, open out onto another kind of little broken down village, pull up in front of another house, and we realize suddenly this is the same place we were at the beginning of our time in Jamaica. We were at Palomina's parents' house. And what we did not know was that in honor of our visit, Food for the Poor built Palomina home. And the homes that Food for the Poor builds in Jamaica are very simple. They're kind of like kits. They're about 450 square feet. It's a couple little bedrooms, a little kitchen, dining area, tiny little loft for another bed up above. You know, they're very modest, very small. And the crews, once the money is given for a house, the crews can put them up like in 6 hours. And like once a house is paid for, it just can go up very quickly. So here is this brand new house that they put right behind the parents' house. And there's Palomina standing out in front of it. But again, the most notable thing of the experience was Palomina's face. She had come to life. She had this big smile on her face. You know, she was animated. She was excited, right? And we got to do the, if you all remember It's a Wonderful Life, we got to do the Jimmy Stewart thing. Remember It's a Wonderful Life, when they welcome the family to their home, you know, get to sit in prayer and all that stuff. Got to do all the fun stuff. But anyway, we welcomed her to her home, and it was like a resurrection experience. parents. I mean, she was dead and now she was alive because someone cared enough to give the funds necessary for her to have a new life and a new home. And all of a sudden that plaque that was on the wall in the old bedroom started making more sense. With God, all things are possible. Because when people take the opportunity to change someone's life, magic happens. Resurrection happens. It was just a thing to see. And every time I've had experiences of that kind, people having the opportunity to get a home for the first time or whatever it is, I always think back to the heart of Jesus' ministry, or at least what I think is the heart of Jesus' ministry, and that is his ministry to those on the margins of society, to the poor, to the destitute, because that's what Jesus did. I mean, Jesus came for everyone. He spent some time with some rich people and some politically powerful people, right? But if you read the Gospels, almost all his time was spent with people who lived on the margins of the society around him. People who were either poor, which almost everyone was back then, or who were dispossessed because of political reasons or religious reasons or family reasons or whatever. That is where Jesus went, and that is where Jesus changed people's lives. Right? That's what he did. In fact, you know, I mean, I'm going to bypass the Gospels for today with all deference to this great story of Peter's moment of triumph until next week. You'll find out his moment of triumph doesn't last that long, but I will bypass that and say that, bring you back to the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, because that is where Jesus goes into his home synagogue in Nazareth, right? And he goes in, if you recall, he goes up to read from the prophet Isaiah, and he opens the scroll and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And it's no accident that Jesus says this in the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, because this is Jesus' mission statement. And he will spend the rest of his ministry living out that proclamation, which Isaiah had said so many years before. That's what he was about. And of course, as Christians, that's what we're called to be about, right? And I know, it's not like I know you don't know this, that you don't know. Thank God, I'm sorry. Jesus cares about the poor, right? I know you know this. I've been on your website. I've talked to some parishioners. You know, I know the Mount Airy and that project you're involved in, and your work with St. Jude's Ranch and all these things. So I know you're aware that this is our ministry. This is what we're called to do as Christians, as followers of Jesus. I am here this morning to beg on behalf of the poorest of God's children in another part of the world, people who have nothing. And we have the opportunity and the privilege as disciples of Christ to serve people who we can reach out to and change their lives just as Palestine's life was changed. Right? And that is, I believe, at the core of our ministry. And Food for the Poor does this in 17 different countries in the Caribbean and Latin America. And Food for the Poor's ministry is to the most destitute poor, people who have absolutely nothing, people for whom the support that's given by the generous donors to Food for the Poor, change lives from destitution to lives of hope. And in fact, if you will open the brochure that you've got in your bulletin and take a look at it, and you can take this home and read a little bit about Food for the Poor, go on our website, and see what being a part of this ministry is all about. But if you open it to the side with the thick line to the right of center, and then look to the left of that line, it always strikes me, the most important thing for me is to realize how far first world dollars go in the third world. Right? So for instance, for $3,200, you can build someone a home. You can change a life just like Palomina's life. Maybe someone here would like to do that today. Or maybe the folks at St. James would like to gather together and build a home or two and change a life that way. For $205, you can put a water pump in a village. And I'm sure most of you are aware that access to clean water is one of the biggest problems in developing countries, both particularly in terms of infant mortality and the elderly. Right? And bringing clean water to someone is an incredible gift. Or, as always strikes me most amazingly, for $43.80, you can feed a starving child for a year. How striking is that, right? And it costs food for the poor 6 cents to deliver a rice and beans meal to a starving child twice a day, 365 days a year, $43.80. There's no better bang for your buck on the planet, right? And most of us will spend that on lunch after Mass, right? It's just, and I say that just to say, in terms of the kind of impact that we can have on another person's life with the resources that we have been blessed with. And if you put a finger on both sides of that yellow line and pull, you'll see this also happens to be a handy envelope. Because if you haven't gotten it yet, my brothers and sisters, I'm not just here for your compassion. I am here for your money. Because it's money that changes lives. It's money that brings hope, that in many ways brings truly resurrection. So I hope you will make a generous gift this morning. You can do it cash, you can do it credit card, you can do it check out, whatever floats your boat. But please, if you make a gift, give us your name and address, so we can give you proper tax credit for you and exclude it for it, and so we can thank you. And you can seal that up, give it to me on the way out of church or a coffee hour or whatever, and I will get that back to our office, and you will have a part in this ministry that changes lives. But beyond that, I hope you will consider giving regularly to make a pledge, because that is how we can just regularly have an impact. Jesus said, the poor are always with you, and to me that's a reminder to us of our responsibility to always serve. So every year when my wife and I prepare our, every year when we look at our finances, there are two things we always do. The first thing is we make a pledge to our parish to make sure that the work of the gospel goes on in our community and in the world around it. And the second thing we do is we choose the charities that we think are doing the work of Christ, whether they're religious or secular charities, and we support them every month. And I hope you'll consider making food for one of the charities that you do that with, because it changes lives. And because every time we reach out to someone, and I don't care if we're reaching out financially, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, anytime we reach out to someone with love and to help them, we become Christ for that person for a short moment. And there's no greater gift to ourselves than that. And when we become Christ for someone, we become the grace of God. So I will end exactly where I began. Please join me again.